Would you turn to the book of Daniel, please? Welcome to a brand new year. Brand new, 2011. And at the beginning of each year, I ask three questions, and I'm going to ask you the same three questions this morning. And I want you to think about them. We don't just do them tritely, we don't do them lightly, but they're questions upon which we need to come up with our own answers. Number one, what kind of Christian do you want to be? As we embark on a new year, what kind of Christian do you want to be? Secondly, what kind of church do you want to have? What kind of church do you want? And thirdly, therefore, what kind of Christianity do you want to live? What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of church do you want to have? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As an aged leader, Joshua, and I will get to Daniel, Joshua was getting ready to end his ministry, and he asked the people a life-changing question. In Joshua chapter 24, whom will you serve? Which God will you serve? Do you want the God of the comforting surrounding nations or to fit in, or you want to be comfortable, you want to enjoy this good life and don't worry about being seen as being different? Or will you instead choose to serve the one who made you, the one who created you, the one who has a destiny and a purpose for you, the one who birthed you in the Spirit of God? And Joshua declared an answer, choose you this day. But say it with me, please. It's Joshua 24, verse 15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay? So whom will you serve? Do you want Him? Do you want to please Him? Do you want His will and His purpose in your life? Do you want to fulfill the destiny for which the Lord has called you? Come on, Pastor Kev, it's 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm just hungry. But these are questions as we embark on a new year as a congregation and as individuals before the Lord that are important and vital for us in setting our hearts and focusing our minds. Do you want to please Him? Choose you this day. Do we want to taste the wine of the world or the wine of the Spirit? Do you want to be conformed to His image? And do you want to help bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? How many want to be conformed to His image? How many want to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? At least be a part of that. All right, we're going to talk about Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 9 this morning, would you please? Daniel chapter 9, and I want to talk for a few minutes about Daniel's prayer. Daniel's prayer with those thoughts as a backdrop and as a heart condition for where we're going and what we're doing as we continue to run after the Lord. The book of Daniel, and I'll talk about Daniel's character as we look into this morning, Daniel chapter 9, and we'll get to a couple of verses there as we start. God set apart His people in Israel, in their own land. He delivered them, He saved them, He redeemed them, He provided for them, He covered them. But the people decided they wanted to fit in, and they wanted the world so much they rejected God and chose other gods instead. The nation had a notion, and that notion was they would be just fine if they chose other gods. Adam and Eve had a notion they'd be just fine if they ate that other piece of fruit. But it didn't work out so well. It feels a little bit like Sarah Palin. So how's that fruit thing working out for you? Didn't work out too well for Adam and Eve, did it? The nation of Israel then had a series of kings following David and Solomon, and they divided into two nations, if you will, the northern and the southern, Israel and Judah. Israel, as you know, refused to turn from sin. They went into idolatry, and they were overrun eventually by Assyria. How many remember Assyria? We've studied these things before, but Assyria was a ruthless overseer. Judah hung on for a while longer. But history shows us they too also refused to turn back to God. And God allowed them finally to be taken to where? How many remember? To Babylon. That's right. Babylon had rebelled against the Assyrian Empire in 626 BC. And they overthrew the Assyrian capital of Nineveh in 612 BC. So Babylon became the king, if you will, the master of the Middle East. And they then defeated the Egyptian armies in 605 B.C. Then Judah was run over by Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar completely overtook and subdued Jerusalem. They were judged by God. And how many remember how long they were supposed to go to Babylon for? 70 years. That's right. 70 years, their house of worship lay in ruins. 70 years, their country was impoverished. 70 years, Israel was gone and destroyed. God told them He would deal with them. And we know, if you recall your history, when Judah went into captivity, they were cared for in Babylon. They really had a fairly easy time of it, but they were in captivity and they couldn't go home. The Babylonian leaders took 4 teenagers. How many remember who they were? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And the main guy was Daniel. You've heard of each of them. As for them, they chose to serve the Lord. Daniel's life and ministry is really pretty incredible. It bridges the entire 70 years of captivity in Babylon. He was hand-picked to lead in governmental service. He served where it wasn't comfortable, but he didn't bow his knee to the other god. He didn't try to fit in. He submitted where he could, but he kept worshiping his God. Daniel was a mouthpiece of God to the Gentile and to the Jewish world. He declared God's present and eternal purpose. Sounds like the church's place, doesn't it? To declare God's eternal purpose and to declare what God's doing in the world today. What difference can I make? Turn to each other and say, what difference can you make as one person? That's right, you can talk to each other in this church. I'm just one person. Daniel was probably only 14 or 16 years of age. And this one man changed all of human history because he walked with God. Daniel's character wasn't changed by the world. The world was changed by Daniel's character. His circumstances didn't change his character. And his circumstances didn't always even change. But he changed his world by his character. Do you know that Daniel's one of the few Bible characters about which nothing negative is written? There are a lot of people in the Bible, a whole lot of things. Daniel is one of the only guys about whom nothing negative is written. He was a man of faith, a man of courage, consistency, lack of compromise, and Daniel ministered during the entire Babylonian captivity as a prophet and as a governmental official. He continued after Babylon was overrun, if you remember, by the Medes and the Persians. In 539 B.C., his prophetic ministry was oriented and aimed in Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, and then in Persia to Darius and to Cyrus. And he also prophesied to his Jewish countrymen. And his whole message was that God was in control. How many realize that's really the big issue in all of life, isn't it? You know, when people don't want God, you know why they don't want God? Why is it? They want to be in control. Welcome to Port Ludlow. Definition, Port Ludlow. I'm in control. Right? Isn't that it? But it's not true, is it? God is the one who's in charge. And Daniel kept dealing over and over again with a message that God is the one who governs in the affairs of men. Daniel chapter 4, verse 25. And we'll take a look there. Daniel chapter 4, verse 25 says, "The Most High." Doesn't work? There we go. The Most High rules in the overheads of men. It says, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And say it with me, please. Gives it to whomever He chooses. Let's put the map up there for just a minute. Would you please? The map right there. I know I keep you running. Thanks, Pat. And of course, we'll have to flip it over. There we are. There we are. And so, we have Jerusalem down here. And he was taken and his 3 cohorts all the way over to Babylon. Now the solid line here is the Assyrian rule. And after they left, the dotted line is where Babylon controlled. And Daniel, again, was taken all the way over to Babylon. Do you realize that though he served the Lord and he would not compromise, that there's a man who never saw home again? Never. Ministered for over 70 years, brought the word of the Lord faithfully, would not bow, would not yield to the enemies, but served the Lord faithfully, never having seen home again. God is the one who is in control. And Daniel's prophecies sounded like God is going to restore you and God is going to give you a new beginning. If you will trust in Him, He will preserve you and He will fulfill His word as surely as the Messiah will come. Daniel had character. Say it with me. Daniel had character. His love for God drove his character, and even as a teen, it kept his heart and his life and his ministry, and he was distinguished by who he was, how he lived, and how he carried out his daily ministry. Let's be people of character. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's be people of character. Daniel had character. Let's talk secondly about Daniel's choice. Daniel's choice. Babylon was part of the empire of Nimrod, according to Genesis 10, verse 10. Babylon was an old city even when Abraham left southern Mesopotamia about 2000 BC. It reached the height of his splendor, or of its splendor, under King Nebuchadnezzar II, who ruled in 605 to 562 BC. In Daniel's time, in some of that. He enlarged the city. Nebuchadnezzar enlarged the city of Babylon to about 6 square miles. He absolutely made it a glorious and beautiful city, magnificent buildings, major gates going in and out of the city, colored bricks with pictures on them of lions and dragons and bulls, and a main thoroughfare leading to the idolatrous god that they worship. He made a glorious thing, and he also made in the city of Babylon, in the ancient days, one of the 7 wonders of the world. How many remember what it was? The Hanging Gardens. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the 7 ancient wonders of the world. It's said that he did that because one of his foreign wives missed her homeland, and so he created these Hanging Gardens. But he became very proud of all that he accomplished. He was a king who built a huge complex for himself to live. He had the Hanging Gardens. Overall, he treated Judah well. It was tempting. It was comfortable. It was spacious. It was populous. And it had great resources. Only Daniel made a choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say it one more time with me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Daniel was one of the greatest leaders that nation had ever known. He could have all the riches. He could bow down to their God. He could do it all. And he did do a lot of it, but he kept his relationship with God Himself. They tried to trick him. Don't pray to any other gods, lest you be taken and killed. And Daniel goes home, opens up his window, kneels, and what? He prays to God, to Yahweh, to Jehovah. So they throw him in a lion's den. And the king is frantic all night long, can't sleep, goes back the next day, and what? Shouts out, Daniel, did your God keep you alive? And you can almost hear Daniel yawn and say, yeah, I'm great, pal. Everything's cool in here. God kept the mouths of the lions. God is in charge. And his faith didn't waver in trouble. He made his choice. Daniel was subject to ridicule. He was framed for doing evil. But this man made a choice to serve God no matter what. At the end of 70 years of judgment, as that was coming to a close, he was aware of God's timetable because he made a choice to be a man of the book. Say it with me. Daniel was a man of the book. I am a man or woman of the book. Daniel's cry is number 3. Daniel's character, Daniel's choice, and Daniel's cry. Let's go to Daniel chapter 4, or chapter 9 rather, verses 2 through 4. Daniel chapter 9, 2 through 4. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet. What was Daniel studying? What was he reading?
The Bible.
The book of Jeremiah. The prophets. That he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keeps his commandments. Daniel was a man of the book. A man who studied the Scriptures. And because he studied the Word of God, he was sensitive to hearing God's voice and knowing the timetable and the purpose of God. When you read and study the Word of God, your heart is quickened to the timetable, to the purpose, to the destiny and plan of God. Make your choice. And let that lead to your cry. So Daniel cries out to God. Verse 5, he basically says, we've sinned, we've committed iniquity, we've done wickedly, we've rebelled. Verse 6, we haven't heeded your prophets. Verse 7, Lord, righteousness belongs to you. Verse 8, but shame belongs to us because we have, say it with me please, sinned against you. Now, we're reading about Jerusalem and about Israel. How many know this can apply to America? U.S. of A. Lord, we have sinned against you. We have done shamefully. We have done wickedly. And will the people of God, people of character, people who have made their choice, people who have the cry in their heart to please the Lord, will they rise up like Daniel and begin to pray and begin to intercede and begin to cry out, oh God, we repent of our sins. Won't you move in a fresh way? But he remembers verse 9. Of chapter 9. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. The word mercy is the word that really means, it's rakam, and it means compassion. Like a mother who cherishes the fetus in her womb. Let there be mercy, O God. Bear us in your womb once again. Birth us again, O God, in your purpose and your plan as a nation. O God, let your plan come to pass. Forgive us of our wickedness and have mercy, O Lord. And his cry reminds God, you are merciful. And then he says, have forgiveness. And that's tzedakah. And it means, Lord, pardon us. Pardon us. Verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. That we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. He understands that the judgment that's come upon Israel is our fault. And there's two purposes for crying out to God. To turn from iniquities, the Hebrew is shub, and it means to turn back again. How many remember the word repentance? What does it mean? Turn back again. You're going one way, you turn around and go the other way. To understand your truth is second purpose, sakal. It means to become circumspect and intelligent in God's ways. How many want to come to church and become more intelligent in God's ways? That's why I come to church. I want to become more intelligent in the ways of God. That's why I spend time in the Word. I want to grow in Him. I want to be like Him. And look at what he says. He's crying out to God from the depth of his being to turn from sin and to turn to God. That's repentance. Not just putting off sin, but rushing into God and letting Him fill you up. Daniel 9, verses 17 through 19. Now therefore, our God, would you please read this with me? Hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. For the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Hear the prayer. Cause your face to shine. Incline your ear. Open your eyes. Daniel's cry is our cry. Hear, Lord, pay attention, O God, is what he's saying. Pay attention to the cry of your people and shine. Give us light. Break forth from the darkness, O God. Let there be a fresh new day that comes in the house of the Lord. We're a ruined place, a desolate place. O God, let the Spirit of God pour out revival and let the house of the Lord be the place that people want to come to for peace and healing and power and life. Stretch out your ear and hear us, God. Observe our devastation. Is what he's saying in here. Daniel's prayer and cry really deals with what we read about in the New Testament. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You are the only God who can save. Hear us. Have mercy on us. In verse 18, he says, you know, I'm not praying this because we're hot stuff. I'm not praying this because we're so righteous. But, oh God, because you are so merciful. How many are glad you woke up this morning?
Yes.
Did you give thanks to God for his mercy?
Yes.
You didn't have to wake up this morning, right?
Right?
But the merciful God was compassionate upon us like a mother who cares for the fetus in the womb. Then in verse 19, interestingly, he cries out from the depths of his soul. And then in verse 19, he does it all over again. And it's just quick prayers. One sentence. Hear, which means listen intelligently, God, to us. Forgive, pardon us, and spare us. Listen to us. He says it again, which basically this time is a different word. It means prick up your ears. God, I am really serious about this. And fourth, act. Come on, God. It's time. How many can take that kind of passion to your prayer for revival? Come on, God, it's time. Hear it and see us. And Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit in our country. Forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on our land. Pour out the Spirit of the Lord. And God, bathe us in a spirit of revival. How many want that to happen? Let it be upon us, O Lord. The bottom line of your prayer and your intercession, your cry to God, forgive us, Lord, and listen and really pay attention. And it's time to do it. In verse 19, the second part, don't delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. We're yours. Daniel had character. Let's be men and women of character, which drove his cry and his choice, first of all. Let's be people who make that choice, and then out of that choice we'll serve him, comes our cry for him. Again, after 70 years, God set in motion and accomplished his purpose. The people of Israel, after being in Babylon, never gave themselves to polytheism again. Never gave themselves to the worship of other gods. They became hyper-legalistic about the worship of one God, so much so that the jot and tittles became preeminent over the Word of God. But nevertheless, they never went back into the idolatry that they had known before they went into Babylon. It wasn't easy. There was a rebuilding to do. There was a separation. As Pastor Sherry said this morning, there was a separation between those who were serious for God, who wanted to cry out for God, who wanted to be restored to His purpose, and those who wanted to stay complacent. There were a whole lot of people, when Israel went back into Israel, that stayed right in Babylon in comfort. It was comfortable there. How many want comfort? How many would rather have the Lord our God? I want to do your will, O God, and I want to see your will fulfilled. Let's study the Word as we go into 2011. Let's be people of the book. Let's set our hearts and our affection on Him. Join me at noon as we pray for revival every day, even if it's just a few minutes. Let's be separated to God. Now, lest you think, Lord, it's just a futile attempt to pray and pray and we never see any results, let me tell you just a quick couple of stories in closing about some things that have come across my desk in the last month, some just even this last week, about what God is doing. There was a study just recently taken, and this one isn't so good, that took a poll in America. And it's the worst result in 53 years of the Gallup poll in America being asked, people being asked, is religion waning or increasing in America? More people in 53 years said this year, it's waning, has no influence on our life. That's the bad news. But let me tell you the good news. How many know what the fastest growing religion on earth is? What is it? Islam? What do you think? Christianity? Would you believe It indeed is sold-out Christianity, the fastest-growing religion on the planet. Most people suggest, and most of our news suggests that it's Islamic religions, the evidence points to a new and even original form of biblically-inspired evangelical Christianity is literally sweeping countries like China, Africa, India, and Southeast Asia, making it by far the fastest-growing supernaturally faith-based religion on the planet. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Guys, we feel like we pray and we feel we're ineffective in America, but God's on the move. If Western mindset Americans don't want to see it, God is still on the move doing His work. There's a new book called Mega Shift. And the man did a huge bunch of studying, and he's calling the new believers core apostolics, or new saints who are at the heart of the mushrooming kingdom of God. Christianity, he says, is overlooked as the fastest growing faith in the world because most surveys look at traditional Protestant denominations and the Roman Catholic Church, while ignoring believers who don't have part in either of those. There are 707 million switched-on disciples who fit into this new category, and the church is exploding in growth. The growing core of Christianity crosses a theological line and includes 707 million born-again people, and they're increasing in number by 8% a year. Now, what am I saying? There are now, because of what's going on in those countries, there are more missionaries being sent out from those countries than from Western countries. Hundreds of millions of believers are just not associated with the institutional churches. What's driving this movement? What's driving, he asked, this movement? And you know what it is? Miracles. Prayer birth miracles. There are myriads of healings and powerful answers to prayers taking place around the world. And guys, the reports are sincere. Sincere, dramatic cases of resurrections. Not near-death experiences, but resurrections of actual corpses. This guy says, when I was a kid in Sunday school, I was impressed that 3,000 people were saved on the day of Pentecost. I thought, wow, that'll never happen again. Do you know that that happens around the globe every 25 minutes? 3,000 people are saved and become believers every 25 minutes. By tomorrow, there'll be 175,000 more Christians than there are today. Someone say amen, praise God. The problem is, we don't see it in our country. So we need to be among those who have character, who make choice, and who let that cry come out, oh God, heal our land. Pour out your Spirit, O God. I want to be a part of revival. Anybody else?
Yes.
Come on, say it with me. I want to be a part of revival. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As you leave behind 2010, leave the mistakes, leave the sins. They're under the blood of Jesus. We're on into a new year. And say it with me again. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Stand with me, would you come? Would you stand, please? To be like Jesus. Let's close with our last song, To Be Like Jesus. From earth to glory, all I ask, Lord, all I ask is to be like you. Father, as we come into a new year, we give ourselves freely to you, in love with you. We pray, O God, that you will have your way. Pour out revival, O God. We're not satisfied with the status quo. Daniel wasn't satisfied with the status quo. He studied the book and he looked and he saw, it's time. Lord, we're the ones who are crying out now. Oh God, it's time. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh, we pray. Father, we dedicate ourselves to you as we move into a new year, to being people of the book, people of character, people of choice, people with that heart cry, to serve you with everything within us. We love you.